Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends on this Friday. Inclusion is a very powerful word in our world, isn't it? Most people welcome the feeling of being included and resist any group from whom they feel excluded. This time of year, many people are relocating to live in other places or changing jobs, so the hunger to be included or belong can sometimes be nearly desperate. Question: how long of a period of time and what is the process required for someone to feel included in your church or social group? Influence is another very powerful word in our world, isn't it? With the rapid changes in technology, would you agree, powerful influence is unrestrained by geography or age or ethnicity or even language? So here's another question. Who are the most influential people in your life, your neighborhood, your community, your nation? How has that powerful influence been achieved? Now combine those two powerful words, inclusion and influence. How long does it take a person who is just beginning to be included to become influential in your world? Today, let's look at how God's direct involvement affects both inclusion and influence. Join me again with Paul and Barnabas in the city of Pisidian Antioch. Acts 13 tells us, Paul and Barnabas had just arrived, and yet for two consecutive Sabbaths, they had been invited to speak openly to those gathered for Jewish synagogue services. The second time, nearly the entire city had gathered to hear what the Apostle Paul had to say, according to Acts 13, verse 44. It appears Paul in particular had become quite influential very quickly, even though we have no record he or Barnabas had ever been to Pisidian Antioch prior to this visit. Clearly, God was working and opening hearts and minds in this town to the story and message of Jesus. But the dark kingdom is never idle, especially when Jesus is expanding his influence. And Dr. Luke gives us this report. The word of the Lord Jesus spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Acts 13, verse 49 and 50. Do you hear the power of negative influence? Do you find it interesting that women described as God-fearing were among those influenced to oppose Paul and Barnabas? Now, what do you think about that, my friends? How is it possible to be God-fearing and yet opposed to God at the same time? The gospel of Jesus, which Paul was presenting, claimed that Jesus Christ is God the Son incarnate and the God-promised Messiah, Matthew chapter 3. The gospel of Jesus also claims that Jesus' death and resurrection is atonement sacrifice sufficient for God to accept and then extend sin forgiveness to anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ and believes God's forgiveness promise, according to John chapter 3 and chapter 5. While these women were devoutly religious worshipers of God, their hearts were closed to God showing them the truth of his redemption plan to which their prophets had pointed. They rejected Jesus Christ, God the Son, and doomed themselves and their city. Influential men and women in Pisidian Antioch were incited not to help their city, but actually damage their city by resisting and actually driving Paul and Barnabas out of their city. The dark kingdom will always oppose God, God's truth, God's help, and God's hope. Why? Because the dark kingdom wants people to live in bondage to fear, shame, guilt, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, and despair. This is very important for us to understand. Why? Because the dark kingdom's bondage often looks appealing or even fun. Ask any alcoholic or drug addict or person in prison. The beginning of their bondage was fun, and by the time it turned enslaving, they were stuck. This event in Pisidian Antioch nearly 2,000 years ago is being repeated in every town and city of our world today as influential people seek to put out the light of hope found in Jesus. Do you see it where you live? Paul and Barnabas once again prayed, asking Jesus to guide them. Should they stay and fight, possibly being killed by angry people, or move on to wherever the Holy Spirit has been preparing to receive them. They felt the Spirit of God was leading them on, so they headed east, about 95 miles to the city of Iconium. But what about those Paul and Barnabas left behind who had trusted in Jesus? Would they feel abandoned? Dr. Luke writes this: the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 52. That tells me those in Pisidian Antioch who were now followers of Jesus had learned enough from Paul and Barnabas during the time they were there that they were confident the Holy Spirit would sustain them, strengthen them, and guide them as Paul and Barnabas left and went to the next city. Oh my, that raises an important question, my friends. Is the Holy Spirit doing such a good work of teaching and strengthening you and me that we can rejoice if the most influential person in our spiritual growth are led by Jesus to move on to another place? Tomorrow, we'll join Paul and Barnabas as they enter the town of Iconium, and they seek quickly to find inclusion and influence there, as they had found in Pisidian Antioch. For today, let's look closely at what Jesus wants us to learn through the response to the gospel of Jesus in Pisidian Antioch, but then the abrupt rise of persecution. None of us can control the future. None of us knows how things might change, and sudden opposition to Jesus might rise up dramatically in your city and mine.